And we have our Valley Talk program here on this Tuesday, the final day of May, the final day of April, April 30th. And we thank Senator Mark Johnson for joining us. And, well, Mr. Johnson, how are you doing today?
Hey, good morning, Chris. Wonderful, wonderful. It's good to be on. It's been a while since I've been on the radio with you, so thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining us. We know you're very busy with a month left, just under that here in the session. So I guess what are some things that the folks here in Northwest Minnesota should know?
Oh, boy. All sorts of wild excitement down here at the Capitol. You know, Chris, you've been around here a little bit and done a few tours and visits. So getting down to the end now when all these, the big bills, the omnibus bills is what we call them, are put together and brought out on the floor and have opportunity to have some comment on the floor on those omnibus bills as they start rolling off. So those are those long, long days that you see on the floor, when I say the floor, where we have our desk down at the Senate chamber there. And we'll be working quite a bit on looking at those bills. And now, of course, Democrats are in charge down here, so they set the agenda. And as you saw last year, that really doesn't match up with a lot of the priorities that Republicans have. And so we're going to be working hard to make changes and improvements to the bills that are coming over the finish line to see if we can improve them in a way that benefits rural Minnesota, that benefits all of Minnesotans. But, yeah, definitely needs a lot of work going forward.
Well, it definitely never a dull moment at the Capitol, and there's been some news with I can't remember if I met with her when I was down there, and we had
Senator Mitchell.
Yeah, Senator Mitchell, a good back and forth on the paid leave, I would say good was maybe contentious, might be more of that, but... with her, just a weird thing, but now that's just changed a lot of things, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And so I'm sure that you guys have reported on this as well, but Senator Mitchell was caught in her stepmother's basement wearing all black with a modified flashlight and a backpack with some laptops in it. And the mom has a protection order now against Senator Mitchell. And this all happened up in Detroit Lakes. And so it's really, this is burglary in the first degree, which is considered a crime of violence. And so now we have sitting in our chamber a person who has been charged with a crime of violence, first degree. And she is the deciding vote on a lot of these controversial issues. Yesterday we tried... a motion that said, look, we are not going to stand for this as an institution. Whether it's Republican or Democrat, say, in this situation, we cannot have somebody like this who is making that deciding vote. But the deciding vote on that motion was Senator Mitchell. Senator Mitchell decided whether she would be allowed to vote or not, and the Democrats stood by her on that vote. It doesn't get... more crazy than this right now.
Yeah, that's something else right there. But so you have that to deal with, because it can never just be a regular session. There's always got to be something thrown in there. But what are there's always the gun safe thing and how is that coming along?
You're right, and there are a number of those provisions. So there are three provisions that are coming through that dealing with firearms in some respect, and again, more restrictions on firearms across the state. They're not tied to results on those bills. It's not that, hey, now that we pass a new bill, we're going to be seeing a reduction in deaths, accidents, whatever. It's just more regulation, more restrictions. Law enforcement has been pretty vocal on a number of those provision as well, too, being like, we can't go in and enforce these things. This is crazy that we're even doing it. But again, it's just part of that agenda. Luckily, yesterday, you saw in the House, those bills were scheduled to come up, and they were tabled. So at least two of those bills were tabled yesterday. So hopefully that's a good sign for what might be coming down the pipe. Maybe they realize that they're going to have a struggle over in the Senate. And we can maybe stop them here. We'll see what happens. But really concerning, those sorts of things. They also have things like the public option. So if, you know, that's for healthcare, if you want to go and get your healthcare insurance, whatever, you'd have a single source, single payer healthcare. And, you know, for our rural hospitals, you know, think of Crookston Hospital. All of a sudden they're paid these lower government rates when already, you know, our hospitals are struggling to make ends meet. And so these are the types of policies that really are in contrast to what most Minnesotans, especially in my district, are looking for. And so we're going to be fighting very, very hard to get these things stopped or at least modified in a way that reduces the pain for our district.
Well, and I've noticed from visiting the Capitol and when we're down for Love Your Local Broadcaster Day, we talked to a lot of different politicians, and it's clear there's a huge difference between what people in outstate Minnesota want and in the Twin Cities. It's almost like there's a line right around the 694, 494 corridor.
And that's, and going back to that point, I just think that's fine. If that's the way it's going to be, that's great. But the reality is it shouldn't be this one size fits all.
Yep.
You know, like what works in St. Paul and Minneapolis clearly is not going to work in Crookston and Mentor and, you know, Steve and Argyle. It's just not going to happen. So make these policies flexible so that the local communities can have the ability to really govern themselves in a way that makes sense. And that you just don't get that. It seems like we know best. That's what the Democrats are saying right now. And here's a policy that you're going to have to take. And it just doesn't work for us. So that's really been our big job lately is trying to get them to see that this does not work for every place in the state. So.
And that's for sure. Taxes, what kind of tax bills are coming through? A lot of people, I've talked to more people than that have said they've never had to pay in on taxes before, and this year they had, and a lot of it, most of it was because of the state. They didn't get their state refund like they normally do.
Chris, it is crazy, the amount of taxes. So remember last year, and this, I think people need to remember, last year we had an $18 billion surplus in our state budget. And that was after a lot of prudent Republican majority budgeting that we had. But now once one session got through, not only did they spend that $18 billion, they decided they didn't have enough money, so they raised taxes by $10 billion. And that's everything from, you know, your income taxes to your business taxes to fees and licensing and registration fees and all that. And you add that up, these are thousands and thousands of dollars that Minnesotans are going to feel coming out of their pocketbook each year. And so, yeah, I mean, people have been talking about it, you know, back up in our district where this is impacting so many people. The effects of the last session are beginning to be felt, and people are waking up to this agenda that happened last year. I hate to be, you know, a Debbie Downer on it, but it just was so harmful for our area and our district.
And that it was, and, you know, I like to thank people up in northwest Minnesota. We live pretty frugally and pretty smart, and it's been a challenge over the last year, and it's not just northwest Minnesota, it's all across the country as well, just with inflation, cost of groceries, and just regular items going up too. It's just it's just been it's coming from all places right now. So what else is should some the residents of the district know that you're working on down at the Capitol?
Well, this is also kind of a fun time of year down here as well, and you know, you walk over to the chamber and you'll see just a sea of people that are about 4 foot five, kind of in that genre. They're all the sixth grade classes that are coming down here, and that's one of my favorite parts of being down at the Capitol. Most of the kids from our district up northwest Minnesota, this is their first time to be at the Capitol. And so I love coming and meeting with those groups and seeing the kids, introducing them to some of the different paintings and sculptures that we have down here, some of the neat views that they can see. And so for me, that's really a fun part of this job. You know, you have the hard days on the floor where you're arguing and and thinking process and procedure. But when the kids come down here, it's all fun. So I really enjoy, you know, when those classes do that. So that's one of the fun things.
Well, that is it's always dealing with the kids, I'm sure. You're used to dealing down at the Capitol with we'll say immature. I had to say it.
Absolutely, and you're spot on. You know that this is kind of like a big high school. So, yeah, but you're spot on.
Those kids are probably more mature, but it is what a neat thing. I have to say it. It's half joking, half serious. But these kids, what a neat trip for them, and it's those field trips. Those are ones that are important, and you get to go down and see how it's run and see how things go, and more importantly, just to see that beautiful building as well.
Yeah, it really is. Yep. It really is.
So,
and so now we're getting down to the wire. We've got until May 20th before that's the last day that we can be down here in session. So we've just got a few weeks left of session here. We'll wrap things up. It's always kind of a gamble on how things land, and especially this year, given the dynamics around Senator Mitchell and what the DFL is looking to do. I think it's going to be a very dynamic year, and it's tough to predict exactly how it's going to land, but you've got to stay tuned, and maybe we can do a couple of these talks before
sure.
before the end of it as well.
Yeah, and with as far as it goes with the bonding bill, does that seem like that might be a possibility to pass?
It's always, yeah. I mean, we are working on some issues with that regarding that and some outside issues that have been drawn into the bonding bill, just regarding other policy that we need to see if we're going to pass that bonding bill. So, but that's a typical yeah. conversation, political conversation that's been around the bonding bill for years. And so it's a good vehicle to have those discussions. So I'm optimistic that we'll get something passed.
Well, and with the bills, you always have to be double checking because you always hear in Washington that people are trying to throw projects in. I'm assuming that happens in St. Paul as well.
Well, it does. I would say that Washington is probably a little bit more rampant than
yeah.
it is down here. You know, we're dealing with smaller numbers. Yeah, we're in the billions of dollars on certain things or hundreds of millions of dollars. But for the most part, the bills are small enough that, and our researchers are excellent down here. So they catch a lot of those mistakes and issues that might pop up. So we don't see like we see the Washington stuff, that's for sure.
Yeah. Is there any corrections or things that you're trying to do, whether it's Democrat, Republican, to try to fix something maybe from last year? Because it does seem like there was not a lot of mistakes, but there were some noticeable mistakes in some of the bills.
Yeah. We've passed a corrections bill, and then there's a revisers bill with some non-substantive corrections in there. But the corrections that we'd really like to see were done by the DFL on purpose. Look at things like the paid family medical leave issue that we had. They went to some of the most extreme policy they could have on that. And we're already seeing them starting to look at jacking up the rates, and the benefits haven't even started yet for individual employees. So we're having a lot of business interest in trying to get some corrections there. I don't think that's going to happen. DFL is pretty entrenched and dug in on this, that what they did was right, and Minnesota is going to like it. There's other issues that we have. There's a religious liberties issue where churches are now liable for hiring practices based on their religious beliefs because of some of the language that was put into the Human Rights Act last year. And so we've got a number of entities that are working on trying to find a correction for that. However, if you watched the committee when one of the Republican members said, hey, this must have been a mistake, let's try to correct this, the DFL member in the House said this was absolutely not a mistake, this was done on purpose. So churches could be held liable for exercising their religious beliefs within their hiring practices. You know, just all these sorts of things that we would like to see moving on. Until we get to gavels, it's very difficult to get change. And so we're going to continue to work, but we need some cooperation from the other side.
I think anybody would agree. Obviously, you as a Republican would like to have all three, the governor, both sides. You would like that, but I think we can all agree it's good to have not everybody have all three.
You're spot on, Chris. I think we know when you go and you talk to people, they say, why can't you guys just get along? Why can't you do this? You know, and they expect government to ideally to be bipartisan, and we've got issues, let's compromise and get there. The other side has not been willing to compromise. The doors have been shut. We've been out of the meetings. There are no amendments that Republicans are putting on, especially last year. And Minnesotans do not want that to happen. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. The idea that you're cutting off half of Minnesota irritates a lot of people. So we'll keep reminding folks that in November.
Yeah, that's for sure. Does it surprise you, or we're going to go national now, does it surprise you that Trump and Biden, according to three KSTP TV polls, are pretty much in a dead heat?
Yeah, you know, I don't spend a lot of time on that federal stuff because it just drives me mad. but it's so funny that those two at that age are leading it. But with Trump and his legal issues, I'm always surprised. But you know, God bless them. They're running. They're doing it, and we'll see what that looks like in November.
Well, they say any publicity is good publicity, right?
I bet he'd wish there was different publicity. But,
yeah. The reason why I bring that up is that maybe it shows you that, with everything that's been happening over the last year, there is a little bit of a switch here in Minnesota where people are starting to realize some of these policies have been damaging and have hurt people both in the pocketbooks and just some, for lack of better terms, just ridiculous things that are coming up. Yeah. And I think people are noticing it. And I'm sure the whole Uber and Lyft thing, that hasn't helped either, because that affects a lot of us from outstate Minnesota that like to use that when we're down in the cities.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have heard that, Trump now, that campaign anyways, has identified Minnesota as one of those states they're going to probably be playing in during the next election cycle, because they think it is a state that they can win for Republicans. And so we'll see if that actually comes true, but it really does sound like there's been a change here. You hear all the time, well, it's all controlled by Democrats or whatever, and it's going to be that way forever. Well, people are starting to see what's going on.
Yeah, it seems like whatever party it is has all three in the state, usually things don't go well because it's only one way, and the other half, and even the independents feel a little left out sometimes.
Yeah.
So
yep, there's some of that.
Yeah, is there? We have about a minute and a half left here. Is there anything else that people should know, Senator Johnson?
Well, I guess just kind of a fun fact. Regardless of how you might feel about it, on May 11th is Statehood Day here in Minnesota, and we are getting a brand new flag for the state given to us by a committee. And so you'll be on May 11th. You'll be seeing that flying over the state capitol here down in St. Paul, and many of the other state buildings across the state as well. So for those who celebrate May 11th, Statehood Day. I imagine you guys have a big celebration at the station there too. Don't you?
Yeah, we have a huge celebration in Crookston for Statehood Day, and it's one of our biggest events of the year.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the picture. That'd be great.
I sent one to you right now. It might not have come through, but Senator Johnson, I know you're busy. We thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule, and I know you have a busy 3 weeks left here in the session, and we wish you best of luck, and thanks for fighting the good fight for those of us here in Northwest Minnesota.
Hey, thanks a lot, Chris. Really appreciate your time and the ability to be on with you this morning. So have a good morning.
All right.